This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, and thank you, as always, for joining me. We'll hear first this week from the Screen Guild Theater, their story from July 10th, 1944, titled The Informer. After that, it's Fort Laramie and their episode from March 3rd, 1956, titled Shave Tail.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, The Informer. The starring players...
This is Charles Bickford.
This is Isabel Jewell.
Sir Wallace Ford.
And this is Reginald Denny.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in one of the greatest motion pictures the screen has ever known. John Ford's RKO Academy Award winner of a few years ago, The Informer. It stars Isabel Jewell as Katie, Charles Bickford as Gippo Nolan, Reginald Denny as Dan, and Wallace Ford as Frankie. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in The Informer. Ireland, during the Great Trouble, when every night brought its killings and every morning its retaliations, the countryside policed by the British military, the hated Tans, the people sullen and secretive, invisibly leagued against the enemy, England. Dublin, a shabby section near the waterfront, a night that's out of a witch's tale. Fog stretching its ghostly fingers through the streets and wrapping the town in a heavy white shroud. And on one of those miserable, darkened streets, a little group standing before a brick wall, staring up at a poster that's been pasted there and muttering among themselves.
Frankie McPhillip's face on a poster. Hearts is an evil day, we see it there.
20 pounds the Tans be offering for him. Sedition against the crown, no less.
20 pounds? 'Tis a fortune it is. I'll curse the man who would be soiling his hands with it.
They melt away into the night. And as they go, another figure comes lumbering through the fog. Gippo Nolan, a great hulk of a man, slouching despondently along the street. He sees the poster and stops, stares at it moodily, lost in his thoughts. And then finally, almost without knowing it...
So they got your face on a poster, Frankie. They're offering 20 pounds for you, eh?
20 pounds?
Sure, and I'd break the man in two that would tell on you for 20 pounds.
20 pounds?
You needn't worry about me, Frankie. I'd not be the one would inform on you. I'd not be the one that would...
20 pounds?
Stop it now. I won't be thinking a thing like that.
20 pounds?
That'll stop it. Now I've ripped it down, I won't be seeing it. I won't be thinking it. God help me, I'll not be cursed for no 20 pounds like that.
And so he lurches off through the fog, down the dimly lit street, fighting the terrible thought in his mind. And suddenly something catches his eye. In front of a little travel agency, a girl and a man.
It's a good time you'll be having, miss. I'll treat you proper, I will.
I've told you no. Go along with you now.
Would you be passing up an evening's pleasure like that? With maybe dinner first?
With dinner?
Aye, the very best. I'm an easy man with money, miss. And for a girl like
you... Let go of me, you scut!
Chippo!
Take your hands off me! Put me down!
I'll put you down, all right. 10 feet from here.
You're living! Don't!
Chippo! You've hurt him.
Bad luck to him. Serves him right. And you, Katie, what have you got to say?
Oh, Chippo, what's the use? I'm hungry and I can't pay my room rent.
So you'd go along with the likes of him. You'd go along and...
Oh, Chippo, don't look at me like that. You know you're the only one for me. But what chance have we got? Money, that's all that counts.
Ah, Kitty.
Look in the window there. It says travel. See the world. Sure. The world is ours for £20.
£20?
What are you saying that for?
Saying what?
£20.
What are you driving at?
Chippo, my arm. What's the matter with you?
£20. Go on, get it from the scut I just threw in the gutter.
Saint Chippo. Too good for me, eh? Well, let me tell you something. You're no better than any other man. You're all alike.
Ah, Katie, I didn't mean that.
Go along with your fine principles. Me, I can't afford them. Good night.
Katie. Katie! £20. It would make all the difference, it would.
Chippo. Psst.
Who's Chippo. That? Who's that? Where are you?
Back of you, Chippo, in the alley. What's the matter with you, Chippo? Don't you know me?
Frankie McPhillip.
Not so loud. Ah, Chippo. I'm in luck to find you. My own best friend. The one man in the world I'd...
£20.
What is it, Chippo? What are you staring at?
Nothing. Nothing, Frankie. Only you came on me so sudden-like.
I guess I'm getting jumpy. Having a price on my head. 6 months is a long time, my boy, to be out in the hills on the run. Did you deliver the last message, Chippo? What did my mother say?
She blessed the saint she went alive. And she followed me out crying and put a quid in me hand to give to you. But I had no way of finding you. And I was that hungry myself that I spent it.
Ah, you big lubber. She likes you. God knows why. That was her way of giving you some...
£20.
What's come over you, Chippo? What are you gawking at? Is there anything queer about me now?
No. You see... Frankie, I've been court-martialed.
What for, man?
For not finishing the tam that killed Quincannon. I took him out in a lorry and he begged for his life. I couldn't do it, Frankie. Not in cold blood. Besides, he swore he'd desert if I let him go.
Then you believed him. What did Commandant Gallagher say?
He ne'er had me plugged when I got back. And he threw me out of the organization. Now the British think I'm with the Irish, and the Irish think I'm with the British. The long and the short of it is I'm going around starving. Without a dog to lick me trousers.
You poor fathead, you. And to think of the jobs we pulled together. Your muscles and my wits, your strength and my plans. And the minute I leave you alone, you're in trouble. Man alive, I'm your brain.
Gotcha, Frankie. You're me brain, all right.
Aye, but it's your help I'm needing now. Are the tans still watching the house? Are they on the...
£20.
Quit gaping at me, man. I say, is there a guard in the house?
No. Not now. Not since Christmas.
Then I'm off to see my mother and sister. Up the rebels, Chippo. Up the rebels!
£20, Chippo. £20.
All right, Nolan. You can sit over there.
Yes, sir.
Take off your cap and put that cigarette out. There's no smoking in headquarters.
But I've told you where you'd find Frankie McPhillip. Why don't you pay me off and let me go?
The information you gave is being checked. You'll have to wait.
Sitting here like this. You're sitting and waiting. For the love of God, sir, let me have a cigarette.
It's not allowed. Headquarters, yes.
I see. Very good.
Was that them now?
Yes. They found Frankie McPhillips at his home. He tried to escape. He was killed.
Killed?
Here's your £20. You may go now.
Killed. I never thought he'd be killed. Got to have a plan. Got to have a plan.
A plan, Jeffo?
What's that?
Don't you know me, Chippo? Don't you know my voice? And have you forgotten? I'm your brain. You can't think without me. You can't make a plan.
Frankie! Frankie!
It is a sad day, this, for the McPhillips, Bartley.
Aye, Tommy, aye. And may the informer be cursed with his 20 pounds.
Poor Mary, losing a brother like that. And loving Dan Gallagher like she does, and apt to lose him, too, if the Tans ever get their hands on him.
Tommy, have you noticed Jippo?
Jippo?
Aye, he's been sitting over there for an hour now. Hands rammed down into his pockets and not a word out of him.
He might at least have the decency to speak some comfort to Frankie's mother.
Wait. Look, he's getting up now. He's coming over.
What the devil's wrong with him?
Mrs. McPhillip. Mrs. McPhillip.
Jippo.
I'm sorry for your trouble, Mrs. McPhillip.
What are you shouting for, Jippo?
And take your hands out of your pockets, man. Show some respect for the dead. That's better. That's better.
Money.
What's that?
You've dropped some coins, Jippo. Here.
Leave them alone.
I only wanted to hand them to you.
Leave them alone, I say. They're mine. Mine, I tell you. I swear before God I warned him to stay away from this house.
Good heavens, man. There is no one suspects you.
Aye, Jippo. 'Tis well known you were my Frankie's best friend.
My brother liked you, Jippo.
Mary. Mrs. McPhillip. Yes. You were good to me. I'm sorry for your trouble. I'll be leaving these with you. Good night.
Tommy. This afternoon, Jippo didn't have a shilling to his name.
Aye, it's the same thing I'd be thinking, Bartley. And something Commandant Gallagher should know. So we followed him, Dan. When he'd had enough drink, we told him you wanted to talk to him. Bartley's got him outside.
Good work, Tommy.
All right, Bartley.
Well, here he is, Dan.
Hello, Jippo. Well, you don't seem very glad to see me. You have a grudge against me, Jippo. Why?
There wasn't anything I wouldn't do for you, Dan Gallagher. And then you had me thrown out of the organization. I've been starving for the last 6 months. I got no clothes, no money, no nothing.
You disobeyed orders, Jippo, and endangered the organization. But I'll make a fair deal with you. We'll call everything quits and reinstate you on one condition.
What's that?
If you find the man who informed on Frankie McPhillip.
You mean that? Honest?
Indeed, I do.
Put it there, Dan. I told you I'd do anything for you. How about a drink on it?
Help yourself.
Have one, Tommy. Have one of the Commandant, eh? Here's to you, Dan. Ah, that's the stuff. You can count on me, Dan Gallagher. I've got a plan that...
Plan, Jimbo? And where will you get it? I made your plans. Remember... I was your brain. I was your...
What's ailing you, Jippo? Are you daft?
Another glass. I need another drink.
Man alive, are you perishing with the drought?
Jippo, remember, you have a job to do.
A job? Look, Dan. I'll tell you who it was informed.
Who?
It was that rat Mulligan.
Mulligan the tailor?
It's him as sure as you're born.
How do you make that out?
Why, tonight I seen him going into the Tans' headquarters.
What time?
Oh, about half after six. Well, Dan, are you taking me back?
If your statement checks up. Court of inquiry at midnight. Ammunition dump. Jippo, you be there.
Sure, Dan, sure. How about another drink on it?
Man alive, you've eradicated the bottle.
Bartley will pick you up later, Jippo.
You'll find me at Katie's, Bartley, my boy. You know how it is. See you later, Dan. Up the rebels.
It's him, Dan. It's Jippo. I'll stake my life on it.
He's drunk, Bartley.
Drunk, is it? It's a wonder he can walk.
But whoever the informer is, we've got to find him. One traitor can destroy us all. It's our lives against his.
The whole organization.
Follow him, Bartley. Keep at Jippo's heels like a pot of glue.
Right you are, Dan, right.
And Tommy, mobilize the company. Round up Mulligan. We'll find the informer before this night is over.
Lady Esther has presented Act One of The Informer, starring Wallace Ford, Charles Bickford, Reginald Denny, and Isabel Jewell. In just a moment, we will hear the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Act Two. But first, a word from our hostess, Lady Esther.
Tonight I'm going to tell you something that I'm afraid will be a shock to you. Here it is. I was discussing with a skin specialist the dangerous ideas some women have about makeup. They seem to feel that to look glamorous, to achieve a smooth, flawless-looking skin, they must completely plaster their skin with makeup. Cover it over with what amounts to a makeup mask. I think you should know what that skin specialist told me. He said, when girls come to me with skin trouble, my first warning is never plaster your skin with makeup. If you cork up the tiny pore openings with hard little deposits, you may coarsen and age the appearance of your skin. What's more, you risk little bumps and ugly blemishes. And you may well cause rough, dry flakiness on the skin's delicate surface. To me, it seems appalling that women innocently subject their skins to such risk. When it's so unnecessary, you can easily achieve that smooth, flawless look, a younger, softer look, without danger, without risk to your skin. Millions of women know that Lady Esther Face Powder, because of its special baby texture, gives you the glamorous finish you want, safely, and for 4 long hours without repowdering. You see, my exclusive method of making powder, my patented twin hurricane process, blows my powder so fine and soft that it goes on your skin like a delicate film and helps safely hide those little lines and freckles. Your skin takes on that fine baby texture look that men seem to admire so much. I hope you'll try Lady Esther Face Powder. I promise you exciting new loveliness, even in searching bright sunlight.
Mulligan was the guilty man. Mulligan was the informer. In Gippo's childish mind, confused by drink, the thought kept pounding until it was a fact. And so, released from the terror of the thing he had done, the big fellow went carousing through the night, drinking, spending his £20, giving it away. But everywhere he went, Bartley Mulholland was close at hand, watching, keeping count. And then at last it was midnight, and Bartley led the drunken giant off to meet the others. A group of stern-faced men, a dimly lit room. But as Gippo looks around in dumb surprise, he sees that one man isn't there.
You let him go, Dan. You let Mulligan go.
You didn't do it, Gippo. We have his oath.
Ah, it's easy for an informer swearing oaths.
He had an alibi. He was with the priest from 6 to 7.
It's a lie. He's lying to you, Dan.
Gippo, where were you at 6:30?
What's it got to do with it where I was?
Would you like to tell us what you did after meeting Frankie McPhillip?
It's a lie.
Gippo, as you see, Frankie's sister is here. Mary.
Yes, Dan.
I'm sorry, Mary. Will you repeat what your brother told you when he arrived home tonight?
He said he'd met Gippo. He said he waited for him in an alley to find out if there was a guard in the house.
Gippo, is that true?
No.
Then why did you cry out at the wake that you'd warned him to stay away from the house?
That's it. I did. That's what I told him.
Ah, you did see him then. Why did you tell those lies about Mulligan? Were you drunk or what?
I know I was drunk.
What did you do after meeting Frankie? Tell me.
And suppose I don't.
Then Bartley Mulholland can do it for you. Come on, man. You'd better tell us yourself.
We had the splitting. All mixed up. I can't remember nothing.
You've been spending money about the town, Gippo. And the way Bartley figures it, it comes to exactly £20.
My head is sore. I'm drunk, I tell you.
Where did you get that £20? Tell us.
I can't remember. I can't remember nothing.
Oh, confess, man. Confess and ease your soul.
I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know. Can't you see what I mean? Is there no man here to tell him why I did it? My head is sore. I can't tell him.
There's no need to now, you filthy swine.
Not here, man. Not here. Put down your guns. Take him away.
Come along, Gippo. And mind you now, no tricks.
God have mercy on him. God have mercy.
I'm sorry you had to see this, Mary.
Why must we be killing each other? What good will it do? Why can't we have peace? Oh, Dan, it's cruel, cruel.
It's not revenge, you know. With an informer loose, there's not one of us safe. Not one of us will...
Dan, listen!
Oh, something's gone wrong.
Dan, he got away. He made a break for it.
There were shots. Did you get him?
I don't think so, Dan. You can't see your own hand in the fog.
Oh, we'll have to work fast, lads. Tommy, Daly, cover the TAN's headquarters, front and rear. Bartley, take a dozen men and cover the bridges.
Right, Dan, right.
Slatterly, your group will block the main roads. And remember, men, if he reaches the TAN's before we get him, we're done for. The whole movement's done for, every one of us.
Have a plan. Got to have a plan.
Plan, Jippo. Is it a plan you need?
Frankie! Frankie!
I could give you a plan. I'm your brain. Remember?
Frankie, help me. Help me now.
Oh, I'll not be giving you the plan. On account of what you did to me mother. I'll not forgive you, Jippo. Not until me mother does.
No, Frankie. No, no! Katie. Katie, are you there?
Who is it? Who is it now?
It's Jippo. Open up quick.
Jippo.
Close it, Katie. They're after me.
Oh, Jippo, you put the heart crosswise in me.
Not be getting me, though. We'll go away, Katie. You and me.
Jippo.
Where's the 20 pounds I gave you?
20 pounds? What are you talking about?
I done it for you. That's what I couldn't tell Dan Gallagher. He wouldn't understand.
Did what? What did you do?
Katie, I informed on Frankie.
Informed?
That's how I love you, Katie. Now you're the only one I can trust. Do you love me, Katie? Love me. Love me, Katie.
Oh, sure, I'll love you when I'm clay, darling. But you don't know what you've done to me this night. You don't know what you've done.
Katie, I'm tired.
Lie down, Jippo. Here on the bed. Lie down and rest yourself now.
Tired, Katie. Running through the fog.
Sleep, Jippo. Try and get some sleep. Don't worry, darling. Katie will look after you. Katie will look after you somehow. Oh, Commandant, I'm begging you. Oh, you wouldn't hurt him if you knew how it was.
Katie, in the church next door, there's a mother kneeling at the altar, praying for the soul of her dead boy. Jippo did that.
He did it for me. For me, I tell you. Oh, may God forgive me for shaming him with his poverty and blaming him for mine. He didn't know what he was doing. Oh, let him go.
I'm afraid that isn't within my power.
Oh, Miss McPhillip, you ask him. He'll listen to you.
Dan, just this once, couldn't you?
Mary, dear, I'm sorry. The Tans will never let him alone now. They'll drag out of him every single thing he knows.
I'll take him away. I swear by all that's holy.
Where is he, Katie?
In my room. The other side of the church. Oh, please, Miss McPhillip, don't let him do it. I'm not the kind of girl you are, but I love Jippo nonetheless for being what I am. You mustn't know. You're in love, too.
Please.
Dan, you're in love with him. I can tell by your eyes. Suppose that you were begging for his life now. Suppose it was him you were pleading for.
It is me. And all the others who are fighting for what we believe.
Oh, you won't do it. I can see you won't do it.
Mary, wait for me here. I'll be back.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Oh, please, miss.
May I kneel beside you? I thank you, come. I will.
Done on earth.
Done on earth.
Open the door, Jippo.
Open it, Jippo. We've got you cornered.
Cornered, is it? I'll brain the first man comes in that door.
Smash the door down. Into it. Now.
Hey, come on. No, you don't.
Oh, don't shoot. Don't shoot. It's too crowded.
Look out. Damn, he's loose. He got away again.
He's heading for the street.
Shoot, Tommy. Shoot now.
That's it. Dan. He's still on his feet.
He's done for, Bartley. He's got 5 slugs in him.
Look. He's making for the church.
The church? Mrs. McPhillips in there.
Dan, I've got 1 slug left.
No, Tommy. Let him go. He'll be needing to make his peace with God.
Forgive you, Jippo. You couldn't have known what you were doing.
Frankie. Frankie, you're here. Your mother forgives me. She forgives me, Frankie. She...
Jippo. Jippo. God rest your soul.
Thank you, Charles Bickford, Isabel Jewell, Wallace Ford, and Reginald Denny, for a memorable performance.
Well, Mr. Bradley, every actor wants to do his best when he appears with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players. You see, we feel that this is really our program, because all the benefits from these shows support the wonderful work of the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house and clinic. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, a word from one of America's foremost beauty authorities. Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Jewel. Ladies, if any friend of yours has changed to a new kind of makeup, one she may not know too much about, you'll be doing her a great kindness to warn her. Tell her what skin specialists have told me, that if she is plastering her face with makeup, masking it with a makeup coating, she may be exposing her skin to these 3 serious dangers. 1, drying out the delicate skin surface. 2, corking up and stretching the pore openings. And 3, because of corked up pore openings, inviting little bumps and even more serious blemishes. Now, I don't mean that anyone must give up glamour. On the contrary, a woman can easily give her skin that smooth, flawless look without danger simply by using my new Baby Texture Face Powder. You see, Lady Esther Face Powder, made by an exclusive process, becomes so soft and fine that it lies on your face like a delicate, flattering film that helps safely hide little lines and blemishes. And Lady Esther clings 4 long hours without repowdering. Women who use Lady Esther face powder for the first time are always surprised. They say, "I never knew that any makeup could make me look so lovely."
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present a delightful farce comedy, Make Your Own Bed. It will star Alan Hale, Jane Wyman, and Jack Carson. Be sure to listen. Charles Bickford appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Darrell F. Zanuck's Technicolor production, Wilson. Wallace Ford is currently working in the Bing Crosby production, The Great John L. Isabel Jewell can soon be seen in the Universal production, The Merry Monahans. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To try Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, just get the smallest size jar. Later, you can get the economical large jar and keep refilling the small one for convenience. This is Truman Bradley, speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night, everyone. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, I still don't understand it, Captain.
I don't imagine the War Department worries itself about what you and I think, Gorse.
What I mean is, it only makes plain sense that a troop of men ought to be called a troop, not a company.
What's wrong with company, Sergeant?
I don't know, Captain, but it kind of makes us out to be an infantry outfit, don't it?
That bothers you?
I joined the cavalry, not a bunch of road builders and day laborers.
I'm not sure Captain Lawson and his men would like to hear themselves called that.
Well, I didn't exactly mean any disrespect to him, sir. I know any frontier post ought to have some infantry stationed on it. But I just think somebody ought to get around to changing the designation company.
A good enough name during the Civil War.
I guess so.
Oh, cheer up, Gorse. May take them 10 years, but sooner or later they'll change it. I'll be commanding a troop instead of a company.
Yes, sir. I'll be a whole heap older by 85, and I'll sure feel better about it.
All right, Sergeant. Have Corporal Mercer make out some copies of this, then post one at the Saddler's shop, another at the AQM stores.
Yes, sir. Captain?
What is it?
Looks like Lieutenant Seibert's and the men coming through the main gate now, sir.
Yeah, they're about 7 hours late. Oh, come on. We'll go meet him.
Platoon! Help! Prepare to dismount! Dismount!
That's pretty ragged.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Glasser. Take over. Dismiss the platoon.
Sergeant Gorse, have Lieutenant Seibert's report to the orderly room as soon as he's free.
Yes, sir.
Well?
Captain.
What is it, Gorse? Say it out.
Lieutenant Seibert's is awful young, and he come here straight from the point.
I know that, Sergeant. You want me to be patient with him. That it?
Something like that, sir.
This is Indian country, Gorse. There's not time for a man to be young. I've been patient with him for 3 months now.
Yes, sir. But there's something else this time.
What's that?
His column out there's one man short.
I can see the empty saddle too, Sergeant. Just have the lieutenant report to me.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Syberts reporting the captain as ordered.
Stand at ease, Mr. Syberts. You've just completed a fairly routine mission, Mr. Syberts. That correct?
Yes, sir.
If I recall, your orders were simply to take a platoon from B Company, proceed along the wagon road to Fort Collins, accept delivery of 60 remounts from Garrison Quartermaster, and return to Fort Laramie.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
You were to hold strictly to the route assigned, avoid all contact with Indian irregulars or any action which might provoke hostilities or reprisals. Were those your orders or not?
Yes, sir. They were.
Were they clear? Did you understand them?
Yes, sir, but...
Just ride to Fort Collins and bring back 60 horses. Those were your orders. Now, why didn't you carry them out?
I did, sir, until circumstances changed things.
Circumstances never change an order. The most it can do is alter the way you carry it out. All right, let's take a look at the way you carried out your orders.
Sir,
Up until last night when you bivouacked, everything had been normal. Then during the night, a band of Indians jumped you and got away with 35 head of horses. Why? Because you'd already violated one order, a standing order applying to all night camps in Indian country, to use 4 sentries on the picket line and 4 more out in the points. You'd only posted 3 altogether.
We were only 4 hours from the fort, sir. I thought...
Then you violated 3 more orders. You sent a detail in to the fort with the horses you had left, and you led the rest of the column in pursuit of the Indians.
But, sir,
In doing so, you left your assigned route, you made deliberate contact with the Indians, and you committed an act you knew would provoke hostilities. In fact, you did everything but tear up your orders and feed them to your mount.
But they'd stolen the horses, sir, and those horses had been placed in my charge. I couldn't let them get away with it.
Why couldn't you? You're an officer of the United States Cavalry, Mr. Syberts. You're not permitted the privilege of getting mad and hitting back. We've got a job to do out here, a tough one. To keep order over an area of 10,000 square miles, and to do it without men or the guns we need.
I know that, sir.
We're sitting on a powder keg, Lieutenant. Every minute of the day and night, and don't you ever forget it. Just because some Indian strikes a match, that gives you no excuse to light one in return. That clear?
Yes, sir.
You brought back an empty saddle. How did it happen?
We were ambushed, sir. Private Lineley was killed in the first volley. Corporal Dean and Private Wagner were wounded. We killed 2 of the hostiles before withdrawing.
Did you bring in Lineley's body?
I'm sorry, sir. We were unable to recover it.
All right, that's all, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Captain Quince... Shall I expect a board of inquiry?
That's up to the Major.
Sir, won't he go by your recommendation?
I can't be expected to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point. I'll give him the facts.
Without recommendation?
That'll be all, Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Captain. You can't expect to cover up for every green lieutenant who comes off the point.
And I wouldn't attempt it, Major, but I still accept full responsibility for Mr. Syberts' actions.
Actions? The way I hear it, unofficially, of course, he simply lost his head, violated his orders.
Maybe I didn't make the orders clear to him, sir.
Clear to him? How could he possibly misunderstand a simple mission like that?
He's young, Major. We do things different out here on the frontier. It takes a while to ease into it.
We haven't got a while.
You'll realize that, sir.
Left his route, attacked a band of Indians, and Lord knows what else.
Major Daggett, you asking me for a detailed report?
Yes, of course I'm asking for... Oh, no. No, by heaven, you've already accepted responsibility. I don't want to know the details, at least not officially.
Whatever you want, sir.
You mean whatever you want. Confound it, Lee. You mother that troop of yours like an old hen with a flock of chicks.
Yes, sir.
You'll take them out in the woodshed and whale the daylights out of them yourself, but you'll be hanged if you'll ever let the neighbors find it.
Yes, sir.
All right, you've accepted responsibility, so I'll let it go at that.
Good.
Provided you also accept the responsibility for pulling us out of the fire. A band of renegades, whoever they were, have attacked a cavalry column, stolen 35 horses, and killed a trooper. If they get away with it, more Indians will jump reservation and join up with them.
I think we can prevent that, Major. With your permission, I'd like to have a try at it.
What'll you need?
40 picked men from B Company, a second in command, and half a dozen of the best Indian scouts at the fort. Quanto, for one, Dancing Fox, and maybe Will Granby and Pete Hazen.
All right. Who'll you take as your second? Peterson?
No, sir. Lieutenant Syberts.
You're handicapping yourself.
I'd like to move out by 1 o'clock. That way a forced march will put us at the site of the ambush before dark.
All right, Captain Quince. Make your arrangements.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and Captain.
Yes, sir?
Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Sergeant Gores?
Yes, sir?
Just what do you find so funny?
What? Nothing, Captain. Nothing at all. Lieutenant Syberts reporting, sir. We're ready to move out on order.
Good. Sergeant Gores?
Yes, sir?
What did the scouts say?
Quanto talked with the scouts that were with the lieutenant at the ambush, sir. He's pretty sure they're a bunch of Cheyenne, Bison clan, with Squaw Dog leading them.
Squaw Dog. How many braves?
Around 30, sir. And Quanto thinks they won't be very far away.
I agree with him. This time of year, they're not likely to go north of the Laramie Mountains or west of the Sweetwater Ridge. 10 to 1, they'll hole up somewhere in the Butte Country this side of the Laramie foothills.
Well, that's what Quanto thinks, too, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Tell Quanto and the other scouts to move out. They can cut the sign at the side of the ambush before the column arrives. We'll be there at 5.
Yes, sir.
Quanto, you and Will Granby move out.
All right, Mr. Syberts. Post.
Scouts have moved out, sir.
Right, Sergeant. You, get coffee this morning, Gores?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. I have a feeling it might be a spell before you get any more. Mr. Syberts?
Yes, sir.
You will move out with a point. Once we clear the fort, you will deploy the men as skirmishers.
Yes, sir.
By the column of twos left, on the guidon, forward!
Forward!
Ho!
Captain?
What is it, Gores?
I sure do like getting out in the open air now and then.
I just hope you feel that way 2 days from now.
I think I will, sir. I think I will. Lieutenant Syberts reporting, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I've checked over the mount, sir. They're standing it well, all in good shape. Private Harrison's mount has a stone bruise, not serious.
Fine. You got a match, Syberts?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thanks. Sit down. Rest your feet.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Captain, may I ask what the plans are?
We'll let the men rest here till midnight, then push on north following the river. Unless Quanto or one of the other scouts makes contact before then.
And after that, sir, when we find Squad Dog and his men?
No plans. At least no detailed plans. As a matter of information, Lieutenant, or instruction, as you might say, I'm operating under one general order. To get the horses back, punish the Indians responsible for stealing them and for killing Private Lineley, and do it without starting a blood feud.
You pardon my saying it, sir. It sounds like a difficult mission.
Most of the jobs the cavalry does out here are difficult, Lieutenant. In time, you'll realize that.
I'm beginning to, sir.
Hope so.
Who goes there? Advance and be recognized. One, go. Go.
Captain Quince, it's Quanto, sir.
Over here. Any luck, Quanto?
Much luck. Find Squaw Dog.
Where?
Up river at Ponowico Fork. 1 mile west, camp in Buttes.
Ponowico Fork. And a forced march, we can make it before dawn. Corporal Mercer, get my horse.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Syberts, I'm going to ride out with Quanto and get a look at him. You'll take command of the column.
Yes, sir.
Have the men tie down their bridle chains, muffle all equipment. Stay by the river, but keep moving. Wait at the fork if I haven't rejoined you. Sergeant Gorse knows where it is. That clear now?
Yes, sir.
All right, Quanto, lead out. Carry on, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. Bugler, sound boots and saddles.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
We'll move out in 10 minutes. That's him, all right, Lieutenant. If it was anybody else, a point flanker would have stopped him.
Wonder what he plans to do.
I just wouldn't know, sir. I never try to outguess the captain.
He's a good officer, Sergeant Gorse.
You couldn't find any better, sir. When we got a little time, I want to tell you something else about him.
Made good time, Mr. Syberts.
Thank you, sir.
Be full dawn, about half an hour. Things are working out fine. There are about 30 of them camped in a narrow ravine between those two buttes there to the west.
Luck sure is with us, Captain.
The ravine's about 150 yards long. Only way out's at either end. Sides are too steep to climb. So here's what we'll do. Sergeant Gorse will send 4 men to each of those two buttes. They'll climb on foot, take positions on the rim of the ravine, looking down on Squaw Dog's camp. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant, you'll take 12 men and circle south to come up on the far side of the buttes. You'll approach on foot, establish a skirmish line to command the mouth of the ravine. It's all broken ground. There's plenty of cover. You'll have 20 minutes to get in position. That clear?
Yes, sir.
I'll move in, cover this end of the ravine. You'll fire at will on your own discretion as soon as you hear my guns open up. And with this point in mind, don't kill a single Indian unless you have to keep from being overrun.
But sir,
that's an order, Lieutenant. This whole operation is just one purpose. I want Squaw Dog to realize one thing fast, that he's trapped and that we can kill him and every one of his braves if we so choose. After that, we'll just see what happens. That clear to both of you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, move out.
It's 20 minutes now, Captain.
Then we'll assume Syberts is in place. All right, Sergeant, let's wake him up.
Yes, sir.
Prepare to fire! Ready? Fire!
Hit him again, Sergeant.
Ready? Fire! At the ready, hold!
That ought to show him it'll be a little rough trying to come out this end.
He ain't even going to try it, sir. Not one brave has shown up at the end of that ravine. There go the boys up on the rim.
That'll give him something else to think about. Well, he ought to run into Seibert's down there at the far end any second now.
There he goes now.
We've stopped firing. We've turned him back. Well, Gorse, I guess we can settle back now and wait.
What do you figure Squaw Dog's going to do, sir?
I know what I'd do. I'd hightail it out here and talk things over. You got a match, Sergeant? If Squaw Dog wishes to say something to the captain, let him get off his horse and speak the English he learned in mission school. And let him hand me his rifle.
Squaw Dog, ask why it is white man's soldier attack peaceful hunting party.
Is it possible Squaw Dog thinks I'm a fool?
All Cheyenne, no. Captain is wiser of all men.
Then is it possible that Squaw Dog has lost his eyesight and gone blind?
Squaw Dog sees like the eagle.
Then why can't he see 35 horses in there, in that ravine, with the mark of the white man's government on their flanks? Or is it possible that some of the chief's braves have made a fool of him?
A fool?
Could it be that some of them have stolen horses and killed a soldier of the white man's army, and Squaw Dog knows nothing about it? Could it be that they've lied to you? Told you they traded for the horses? Are you a chief, Squaw Dog? Or a fool whose men laugh at him behind his back?
I am chief.
Then why are you not able to control your men? Why are they able to fool you so easily? Have you lost your authority?
I am chief.
If you were chief, you would identify the guilty men and punish them yourself. Why is it necessary for the white man's army to do your job for you?
I do not know who does this thing.
Well, I'll give you 5 minutes to find out. And if you can't, then we'll look for the guilty men with bullets. And a bullet has no eyes, Squaw Dog. It can't tell the guilty from the innocent.
How many brave, you say, do this thing?
I don't know. But one trooper was killed. I'd say it would take about 4 braves to kill a trooper.
Squaw Dog, go now.
Just 5 minutes. And when you come out, leave the government horses in the ravine and leave your rifles there, too.
We do not keep rifle.
You do not. It may help remind you to supervise your braves more closely in the future. Now get going.
Five minutes are just about up, Captain.
Yeah. He may decide to fight, but I was hoping he'd take the bait.
He took the bait, Captain.
Yeah. Well, it's rough justice, but it's better than a blood feud and a punitive campaign by a full regiment.
There they come, sir. They're riding out.
All right. Let Mr. Seibert know he can follow him through.
Yes, sir. Bugler, sound recall. Well, they probably shot the 4 oldest.
Probably. Have Squaw Dog and his braves stand by till Lieutenant Seibert gets here. He took part in the action. He has a right to share the surrender.
Yes, sir.
Guilty braves are punished. Squaw Dog is free to go now.
Yes, you have my permission.
Now go, Kinganyo.
Oh, just one more thing, Squaw Dog. Every chief should have a rifle, but you have none.
No.
I will permit you to have a rifle, Squaw Dog. Here, take this one. Now, go in peace.
Peace. Bye. Yeah.
Bloody old reprobate.
Revenge is a luxury out here on the frontier, Sergeant. Better this way in the long run.
Captain, why'd you give him back his gun?
Because that gun will break his back, Lieutenant. He took that rifle off of Trooper Lineley's dead body. I saw the serial number. That made him a big man with the clans. Then we outfoxed him, forced him into a spot where he had to execute his own braves to save his skin. And as a final gesture of contempt, I gave him back the gun. That'll break him. It'll save lives in the long run. They'll laugh him off the reservation before the month's out. And what's wrong, Lieutenant?
I caught a bullet, sir. One of the Indians at the other end of the ravine. It's not serious.
Why didn't you get attended to?
I had direct orders to report to you at once.
A bullet wound's an exception, Lieutenant. Go find Corporal Grayley and get him to dress that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
About that board of inquiry.
I heard about it, sir.
Who from?
Sergeant Gorse, sir.
Gorse?
Captain. He's going to do all right. He'll make a good soldier.
He'll do better than that, Sergeant. He'll make a good cavalryman.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald, and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Les Crutchfield, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Jack Moyles, Joseph Cranston, and John Daner.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Now, a public service message from CBS Radio. In time of flood or fire or other disaster, feeling sorry for the victims is not enough in itself to help those victims resume their normal ways of life. When disaster strikes, someone must be on the spot and on the job to help. And with your support, the Red Cross will be on the job wherever and whenever emergencies arise. Join and serve your local Red Cross chapter now, and enjoy knowing that your membership and your contributions are helping people when a need arises throughout the months ahead.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our stories this time. You can find more from Fort Laramie Screen Guild Theater, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help support it all. Your donations make all of this possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.